In response to the preaching of the word, let us sing from Psalter number 236. Psalter number 236, all four stanzas. Right choices and wrong choices. Why do we make them? And that's the question that we need to answer this hour, dear congregation. And therefore, let us turn again to the book of Ruth for the answer that God gives through this book of Ruth. You know, you and I, we should have respect for these two young women, Ruth and Orpah, as we heard about them already the last time. Both of them, so we are told, have dealt kindly with their husbands, who both of them had recently passed away. Both Orpah and Ruth have shown themselves to be good wives. They were faithful. They were caring. They were sympathetic, not only to the general calamity that the family was experiencing, but they were especially kind to their mother-in-law, Naomi. Both Orpah and Ruth, initially at least, were determined not to forsake their mother-in-law, Naomi. And that in itself says something already, doesn't it? And even when Naomi decided to return back to her own people and to her own country and to her own village of Bethlehem, both Orpah and Ruth would not let her travel back alone. Again, remarkable. Initially, both of them decided to go along with her. As such, Naomi, in one of her kinder moments, I suppose you could say, blessed both her daughters-in-law. And she said, "The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt kindly with the dead and with me," as you can read in verse 8. However, at a certain point, Orpah drops out of the picture. And that's sad. In fact, that's very sad. You see, Naomi may have been a loving and a kind mother-in-law, but she gave the wrong advice and left Orpah to return to her Gentile life and to worship Gentile gods. And again I say, that's very sad. But now for Ruth. For Ruth, the Lord God overruled Naomi's advice. And so we read, "But Ruth clung to her." And as you will remember, that is where we left off the last time, Sunday morning. This time, therefore, let us consider Ruth's choice and confession. Ruth's choice and confession. In the first place, made with firm resolve. Secondly, made in the face of great odds. And then thirdly, made in the strength of the Lord. So, Ruth's choice and confession, will first consider that it was made with firm resolve. Now, congregation, at this point, we get to hear something from Ruth which actually goes beyond any devotion that she has shown to her passed away husband or to her present mother-in-law. She shows a tremendous amount of devotion here. We get to hear from Ruth her choice. Her choice. In fact, we could call it even her confession. And this really is the thrust of it as we read it here in our text. "Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people, my people. Your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried." Now, you must understand that Ruth chose basically two things here. Two things. One, that she would remain Naomi's companion, and that for life, till death do us part, for life. The second thing is that she would bow for the God of Naomi and worship Him alone as her God. And then you might ask, well, how firm was she in that resolve and in this choice? It was so firm that it was enough to swear an oath to it. Because we read then as well, the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. Verse 17. Now, you must understand that this is a standard form of oath in those days, which basically said, I will keep to what I have chosen, what I have confessed, and if I don't keep this, then the Lord may take away my life. So that's quite an oath. In other words, Lord, if I don't keep my choice and my confession, you may kill me. You see, this is how firm Ruth was in her resolve and in her choice and in her confession. And the Lord could be her witness. Now, congregation, a similar choice and a similar confession should also be yours and mine. It should be a choice and a confession of each and every one of us personally. Now, I just want to explore this for a moment, because generally speaking, there are three wrong views on making choices. Three wrong views on making choices. Some people are actually adverse. They are against even speaking about choices, particularly as it pertains to religion. And they might even have the excuse then that, well, it is not in their power to make any sort of choice. Certainly not in their power to make any good choices. Sounds very pious, but at the same time, it really boils down to the fact that they don't really want to make any sort of choice at all. So that's the first wrong view on choices. The second wrong view on choices is something like this. That is that some just don't want to make any choice at all. They would rather just straddle the border between Canaan and Moab, between Israel and Moab, have a little bit of religion, but also hold loose, or not quite as loose, to the things of this world. A firm choice and a firm confession then, to serve the Lord God, would just deprive them of far too much freedom that they have enjoyed so far, and therefore, let's not make a choice at all. In the meantime, it could be that they have then made a choice, though they don't consider it that way, and it's a choice that Orpah made, to stay in Moab, to stay in the world of today, because they see more in the world than what they see that is available to them in the church of God. The third wrong choice is as follows, where people say, well, I don't have to choose anymore because God has done this for me already. After all, I am a covenant member. I am a covenant person. I am in the church, and that settles it for me. I am ipso facto a servant of God and saved. But also that, dear people, is a wrong view on making choices. Even in the covenant, the Lord God calls you and me to make a choice. That is, to make a choice of what sort of a covenant member we will be. This is why the Lord, for instance, called Israel into the covenant and to walk in the way of the covenant. And that was to be a specific choice on their part. He called out to His covenant people, choose for yourself. You can read that of that in the book of Joshua, right at the very beginning of Israel as a nation. Choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Choices have to be made. But now, if it is your choice to rebel against the covenant of God, if it is your choice to kick against or simply act as if the covenant is not there, if it is not present, then in reality, you have already made a covenant choice to be a covenant breaker, which in turn will put your salvation and your eternal security far from being settled. Well then, what sort of choice is required of us? What does God require of us? To what does the Lord God call us? Well, nothing less than the choice that Ruth also made at that time. That you and I also come to a very firm and resolved choice in terms of the direction of our life. And that the direction of our life is that we would serve the Lord. Then what is part and parcel of this choice? Well, let me give you a very practical example. And it really comes right out of our text. It is by choosing for God and for His people. And then the practical outworking of this choice is that you will want to be a companion to God's people. That you want to be a companion to believers. And that throughout your whole life, you see. As Ruth said it so clearly, wherever you go, I go. Where you lodge, I lodge. Your people, my people. That's very clear, isn't it? Now, can you and I, can we say with the psalmist of 119, I am a companion of all who fear you and of those who keep your precepts? Can we say this? Can we sing this? Have we been able to sing these words? These words that we have in the Psalter. I love thy saints who fear thy name and walk as in thy sight. They are the excellent of earth. In them is my delight. In them, God's people, is my delight. Well, you say, believers, Christians, they're not always very pleasant people to hang around with. Well, that could be. That could be. Just look into the book of Ruth here. Naomi, although her name meant pleasant, was no doubt not a very pleasant person to hang around with for Ruth. Nevertheless, we read here that Ruth clung to her. She stuck to her like glue. She clung to her. Even though she was not a very pleasant person to hang around with at that moment. But let me ask you, dear brother or sister, what is the company that you most look for in your life? What type of friends, and I ask young people as well, what type of friends do you feel most comfortable with? You know, there's a saying that goes something like, show me your friends and I'll tell you what you are like. God's Word says, you can read of that in James chapter 4 and verse 4, friendship with the world is enmity with God. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. That's clear, isn't it? And therefore this takes a deliberate choice, dear young people especially, no matter how you look at this. And I ask you again, can you say with Ruth, your people, my people? Can you say it with Christians, genuine Christians? It is their company that I desire. Where they meet, that is where I want to meet. There is where I want to be. You see, one of the signs of being a genuine Christian is that Christians seek each other's company. and young people. That also counts for courting. That also counts for courting. And in this connection, I want to say something about what I said last week. I prayed about it. I thought about it very carefully. And I've come to the conclusion that I need to clarify myself a little bit more. Especially when I said that marrying someone outside of the church can work. And I say this on the basis of what I've seen in this congregation. And I rejoice that this has been the case amongst a number of those in the congregation. In fact, I received some emails about that. And therefore, again, I want to repeat something, and we need to listen carefully. For you who have come into the congregation, this congregation, by marriage, it has been by the grace of God, hasn't it? It's been by the mercy of God that it has worked for you. And praise God for it. No doubt your lives are enriched by it as well. And your welcome has also been expressed by the brothers and sisters in the congregation who have been like a Naomi to you, who have been pleasant to you, who have been welcoming to you, and who endeared you to them. In that sense, Naomi has set a good example for us. But now there's another side as well. And dear young people, hear me out carefully. Whatever has been said, let this not become a license for you to court just anyone outside the church. Let this not become a license for you to court just anyone outside the church. And I say this on the basis of God's holy word. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Courting someone outside of the church can also go wrong. Terribly wrong. And there are some amongst us here who are hurting because of that. Who are hurting. Dear young people, take this as a word of love, not just from me, but from the Word of God. This is why the Word of God also says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, and I read it from the ESV translation, which is such a good point and brings it out in such a good way. Bad company ruins good morals. And therefore, again, young people, look for a boyfriend, look for a girlfriend with whom you can relate to spiritually. With the Bible in your hand. Do your courting. And I trust you know what I mean by that. Do your courting within the church of God. Within the congregation, if that is possible. And then do so knowing that your heart is changed. That you are a believing person. That you are born again. Make the right choice. Now back to Ruth. Dear people, we should have great respect for Ruth. Especially when we come to realize that Ruth made a good choice. Made a good confession, as I would like to show this to you in the second place, in the face of great odds. Ruth has made a choice. She has made a choice with firm resolve. to be a companion to God's people and to serve the God of God's people. And she came to this choice with little or no encouragement really from the outside. Naomi, her mother-in-law, had not exactly been much of an encouragement to her at all. In fact, you could say that Naomi has used all of her persuasive powers to discourage Ruth from making such a choice. Naomi predicted a dismal future for Ruth if she would continue with her into the land of Israel. And therefore she said, "Turn back, my daughters, turn back." In fact, Ruth had to hear it several times, as you can read it in this passage, as she was on her way to the land of Canaan. It was sufficient for her, no doubt, at one point to say, "Well, I guess maybe I'm making the wrong choice." You know, it's sad, but Christians are not always a very good encouragement to bring others to the Lord, isn't it? We see this here in Naomi at this particular point. Through the gospel call, someone might come to confess the Lord God and become a companion to God's people. But it is through the gospel call and not because of any sort of encouragement for others. Therefore, I ask, how many Christians would rise to the occasion and would encourage such a person to go on? It's good to serve the Lord. It's good to be part of the family of God. How many Christians amongst us would seize the opportunity to be a help to that sort of a person by taking such a person, leading him or her, and encouraging him or her with words like, "Come and let me tell you what the Lord has done to me personally. Come and let me show you something of the greatness of the God whom we serve. Come and let me tell you something of the goodness and of the blessedness of what it means to be a Christian. Come and let me show you, perhaps not in words as I express them, but in your deeds, that you welcome them into the family of the Lord Jesus Christ." That is part of our task, dear congregation, that comes out of the Word of God. And then, just as an aside, how many believers are there in the church who, after the service, will look at someone and speak to someone with encouraging words to serve the Lord? Well, again, back to Ruth and Naomi. Nevertheless, it was in the face of great odds that Ruth had to make her choice. Ruth received no sort of encouragements from Naomi at that point, besides what happened to Naomi in her loss of her husband and in the loss of her sons may even have been a sign of bad luck to Ruth if God hadn't shown her otherwise. And in her dialogue with Naomi, she had to hear it time and time again, as if she did not know it already, that the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. You can read of that in verse 20. But none of that deterred Ruth. She still chose with commitment, "Your God, my God." And it's true, the mood of Naomi could have not been encouraging at all to Ruth. And no doubt during the whole journey back to Bethlehem, Ruth realized that she had a companion who was embittered. In fact, Naomi said so as well when she entered into Bethlehem. "Don't call me Naomi. Don't call me pleasant, but call me Mara, bitter." Nevertheless, Ruth was resolved in her choice. "Your people, my people." Now, any who feel pressed by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that a choice and a confession must be made, please be advised in this. And that is, do not be discouraged by how God sometimes deals with His wayward people. And true, He sometimes has to take them through difficult times. Sometimes God's hand is heavy on His people, so that it seems that they go through life with a heavy burden on their shoulders. Don't be discouraged to see that God sometimes has to afflict His people for no other reason but to keep them close to His side and dependent upon Him. Don't be discouraged when God has to make His people small at times, or He has to humble them at times. Nevertheless, let none of these things deter you. Let none of these things discourage you. Make your choice with Ruth, firm and resolved, and confess with resolve, "Your God, my God." There's a good example in the Bible of Moses, because he was in that situation at one time in his earlier days. But then we read in the book of Hebrews later on, and you can read of that in Hebrews 11 and verse 25, that he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. You see, there are Christians who do not seem to be very happy, who don't seem to be very satisfied. There are Christians who are not very uplifting at times. They are not always very positive. And as such, they cannot be very helpful. And that is not to the honor of God. But don't let that discourage you. Confess it with Ruth. "Your people, my people." And dear friends, Ruth could say this, and that in the face of great odds. And then to think of this, as to what happened just before Ruth spoke these words. Just before she spoke these words, Orpah left. Her sister-in-law decided, "I got to go back to Moab." That must not have been easy for Ruth. You can understand this. Well, now let me make an application here, dear young people. Perhaps you see some of your friends making wrong choices in your life. Perhaps, like Orpah, they have chosen against God. They have chosen against the service of the Lord God and have gone into the world. Don't let such things stop you from making the right choice. Choose and confess that you will serve the Lord. You. You see, Ruth was at one time at the crossroads of her life. She saw Orpah, her sister-in-law, turn away from God. Must have grieved her. Must have been hard for her. Orpah's departure from Ruth and from Naomi must have torn at Ruth to go that route as well. And therefore, again, I plead with you young people. Some of you know very well the pull that friends may have on you. You see them go away from God. You see them go into the world. Perhaps it was one of your best friends. And the first thought and the first impulse that you might have had at that moment, "Wait, I'll come with you. I too want to go that way because it feels much better." And you're tempted to go that route as well. Dear young people, this hour, the Lord God holds the choice of Ruth and her confession square in your face. It's there in your face. And God, as it were, asks you, Is it not better to make the same choice that Ruth made? Is it not better to make the same choice that Ruth made? You know, there's an old song, an old hymn that goes something like this. Can you cleave to the Lord? Can you cleave to the Lord? When the many turn aside, can you witness He has the living Word and none upon earth besides? Ruth could. And that in the face of great odds. But the question is, for you, will you? Can you? And that takes me to my last point. Because making such a choice in confession can only be done in the strength of the Lord. Ruth was pressed to make a choice in the face of great odds, as you've heard. And she chooses for God and for His people. She turned her back on Moab, her native land, and on her native gods. Regardless of discouragements one way and encouragements other ways, Ruth told Naomi, "Entreat me not to leave you or turn back from following after you." Verse 16. In other words, Naomi, I am firmly resolved in my choice. Your God, my God. Your people, my people. But such a choice, congregation, could never have been made by Ruth in her own strength. You see, Ruth was naturally no different from Orpah. Both were from Moab. They were twins in their behavior towards Naomi. Yet Ruth made the right choice and Orpah made the wrong choice. Where is the difference, you might ask? Well, no doubt, if we are theologically astute, then we will say, well, the difference lies in the electing love of God. You're right. But I must say at the same time that the electing love of God is a mystery to us, isn't it? We do not know who is elect and who is not. And I hope to say a little bit more about that this afternoon. But there is something here in our text that is actually very revealing. And at the same time, it is a wonderful gospel message. And that is the covenant name of God. Let me explain. Notice, in her choice, Ruth spoke the word and said, "Your God, my God." Verse 16. But there's more that she did. She also made a confession. And in her confession, Ruth used the covenant name of God, that is, the Lord. And actually, in the original, it says, Yahweh. Yahweh, Jehovah, do so to me. Verse 17. And dear people, there is where Ruth found her strength to make her break with the past and choose for the future with God. She found her strength in the Lord. And there is where you and I also need to find our strength so that we make the right choice. Perhaps you've made a choice already, or you're about to make a choice. Do it in the name of Yahweh, Jehovah God. As Joshua once said it, choose this day whom you will serve, and praise God if you have made the right choice, because it was in His strength. But perhaps you need to affirm it still with a confession, and for certain, to confirm it with a life true to your choice and confession. Now, Word and Holy Spirit holds what Ruth has done before you as well. The same Word and Holy Spirit holds the Lord of the covenant before you, in whom strength may be found, in whom the will may be found, in whom the wisdom to make such choices can be found. It is in the Lord that we can make the right choice. And when you choose for God and for His people, calling upon Yahweh, as Ruth did, the Lord Yahweh, do so to me. You are calling upon the name of one who is known particularly as our Lord Jesus Christ. As you know, He Himself also once made a firm choice to come into this world. Not only to seek and to save the lost, yes, He did that, but also to sacrifice Himself in order to be the power, in order to be the will, in order to be the strength of His people. Perhaps the Holy Spirit has to show you already, or has shown you already, that you in reality and by nature are powerless to choose for God, and that the temptations are all over you to go to Moab and to sin. Perhaps by way of this message, this hour, the Holy Spirit has made you feel rather uncomfortable about the choices that you have made so far, and you know that there has to be a change in your life. Perhaps your conscience is bothering you at this moment, and it is telling you very clearly you have made some bad choices. My friend, it is not too late. It's not too late to see those choices corrected. And therefore, I plead with you, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell Him of the bad choices that you have made so far. Tell Him of the foolishness that is to be found in those bad choices. And ask Him for help to turn things around for you. Ask Him to turn you around, to give you the strength, to give you the will to make right choices. Dear people, choosing to do good, I know, choosing to do good is the hardest thing in life. As the Apostle Paul, he knew it too. In fact, he wrote something in one of the Bible books. If you want to find out how hard it was for Paul to choose the right, just read Romans chapter 7. How desperately you and I need the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore, for our salvation and also for our personal direction in life. And we are in your direction in life has become similar to that of Ruth. I urge you to lean upon the Lord, to lean upon His covenant powers and His covenant mercies, to lean upon Him to carry you through, as He alone is able to do. As Ruth could say, the Lord, Yahweh, do so to me and more also. Well, I pray that Ruth's choice and confession be a spur, as it were, for you to do likewise. As it was made with firm resolve, made in the face of great odds, but made in the strength of the Lord God, Yahweh. I want to close with a hymn, which to me seems to summarize the application. I want to make it clear to you that seeking the Lord Jesus Christ is a most precious thing to do. And that it is a most necessary thing to do, to seek His strength. Now, the hymn that I want to quote was written by Francis Ridley Havergal. And when you listen to it carefully, really it's a prayer. And I pray that this may also become your prayer. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my will and make it Thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart. It is Thine own. it shall be thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for thee. And with such a prayer, young people, older people, with such a prayer, you will have made the right choice. Praise God for it. Amen.